Brother Charlie, how about praying for us this morning, please, sir?
God, we give you praise this morning because you are worthy, holy, and a wonderful God. We give you thanks for this beautiful day, the knowledge of your love for us, and your presence with us. Thank you for sending Jesus to the world because you loved us so much. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit who lives in us and transforms us into your likeness and comforts us and guides us. Father, we are so blessed to be called your servants and your sons through Christ. And we thank you for the special fellowship we have together in this room because of Jesus. We pray that you'll help us to keep our hearts humble before you and hungry for you, your word, your spirit. We pray, oh God, you will guide us more and more into the purpose you have for each of us. Thank you for making us useful to you and your kingdom. Mm-hmm. Thank you for this time that we can be together, for Toby leading us. We pray that you will bless him and give him many more years to do your work and accomplish your purpose. Father, for those we've been mentioned this morning, the prayer concern for David and his wife, and Ron, his brother, and others mentioned, we just thank you for your presence, and we pray for you give them all that they need. Without you, we just can't make it this life, so we humbly ask for your strength, your healing, your love poured into our hearts. Mm. Thank you again for this time together. Help us to enjoy it fully and make this day a great one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, I don't know how far I'm going to get. I never know. You're probably aware that I will need some Bible readers. So get your Bibles ready. I need about 10 of you. I need somebody to go to Exodus chapter 19, verse 1. Now, don't everybody volunteer one time now. Okay, Harold? I need Exodus 19. Were you waving at me at 19?
I'm waving off the coffee.
Oh, okay. Exodus 19. Who's got Exodus 19? Exodus 19. Take it verse 16 through chapter 20, verse 8. I need Leviticus chapter 23. Chapter 23, I wanted verses 4 through 7. You got that one? Okay. You take Leviticus 23, 15 and 16, please, sir. I need somebody to go to John chapter 14.
I know I read John.
John 14, go to 16. I need somebody to John 15. John 15, 26 and 27. I need somebody to John 16. John 16, verses 7 through 11. I need somebody to go to Romans. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 17. I need somebody to go to book of Acts. Chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. I need somebody to go to another one in Acts. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. You have to read that one good and loud. Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. You aware of that? Pentecost Sunday. Yes, sir.
One quick thing I wanted to add is in Europe or in Germany, they celebrate the ascension of Christ. We don't. It's called Christi Himmelfahrt, where Jesus Christ goes back. And also, shortly thereafter, they celebrate what they call Pfingsten, which is Pentecost. Mm-hmm. Those are both holidays there. And I keep asking myself, why can't we have Good Friday as a holiday here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just one thing I wanted to interject there. I mean, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. The godless nations like over in Europe still celebrate that.
Yeah, well, sure.
We don't think anything about it.
Yeah. Well, we do about Pentecost. We do talk about Pentecost. And I want to tell you this before we get started in here, in case I don't have a chance to get to the end of it. When Simon Peter went to the house of Cornelius, remember, the Holy Spirit led him to the house of Cornelius. And this staunch Jewish boy was totally astonished to find out that these Romans believed in Jesus Christ. And they wanted to know about the Holy Spirit. And fortunately, the Lord had told Simon to go there. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. Simon said, like he did with us. Well, I'm here to suggest to you that the Holy Spirit knows no boundaries.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit can come and go anytime, anywhere he so desires. And I get blessed all over when I hear about somebody from the Muslim world not only getting saved, but finding out that there's a Holy Spirit who will fill their heart. Now, I know that most of us are aware that the Holy Spirit is what keeps us going. We don't walk with Him in the flesh. We walk with Him in the Spirit. And He said, my Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're sons of God.
Amen.
What a great heritage. Well, I just thought it'd be interesting if we could kind of go back and pick up this idea about Pentecost. Okay? Let's start out at Exodus 19. Who had Exodus 19:1?
In the third month after the Israelites went out from the land of Egypt, on the very day they came to the desert of Sinai.
Okay. Now, when I went back and looked at this, remember now, when we talk about last month we went somewhere, you don't know whether that was the first of the month, the middle of the month, or the last of the month. Okay? And so here they are, sometime probably in the last part of April. They have crossed the sea. They're out wandering around across the Sinai Peninsula. And they will wander around after all through the month of May. And then the latter part of May, they come up to this mountain called Sinai. Now, it's calculated that it was 50 days from the Passover in Egypt to the time they reached Mount Sinai. Interesting thing happened at Sinai. Now, don't get alarmed, because this is not the Jethro that you know. Homer was not there. Just Jethro. Moses had worked for the man named Jethro, who was the ruling priest and ruling man of the area of Midian, which was just to the northeast of Sinai. He had heard that Moses and the people had come there, and he comes down because Moses left being a shepherd for him years earlier and left his wife and children. Did not take his wife and children to Egypt with him. And so Dad's going to bring them down, and he makes the trek and comes down to Sinai and even says to Moses, Moses, I've got a little suggestion for you. I watch what you're doing here, and it's too much for you. You're trying to do it all for all these people. You need helpers. And so that's when Moses decided, okay, he and Aaron needed to get some people together here. And it was interesting because Jethro had to remind Moses, you know, I never met your brother, you know. He was down in Egypt while you were here. That was interesting. Did you ever stop to think about that? Had to put Moses in a basket or he'd have been killed, but yet there's Jethro's, Aaron is there in Egypt. And now they've all gathered here, and Jethro says, the Lord sent me to you to tell you, you need to send some of this work out to other people so you can be closer in contact with God. And the Lord said to Moses, Moses, bring some of the people up to the edge of the mountain. Bring the priests and bring them part of the way up the mountain. But just so far, don't bring them all the way. Just bring them up here. So I need somebody to read Exodus 19, verses 16 through chapter 20, verse 8. Listen to them now.
On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like smoke from a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down, warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord, and look, and many of them will perish. Also, let the priests who came near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. And Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for yourself warned us, saying, set limits around the mountain and consecrate it. And the Lord said to him, go down, come up, bring Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and told them, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath or under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember on the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but on the seventh day, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner that is within your gates.
Pentecost. Pentecost. That's the first one. And you thought the loud music started this year.
Are you talking about Acts 1?
No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir. We're way back in Exodus.
I thought so.
Pentecost. The first Pentecost. God shook the whole mountain. Smoke boiled up. And the trumpets blew loud enough that it shook all the people. Boy, they must have been in some of our churches. In fact, I kind of thought about that down at camp the other night. Yes, sir. They got all these horns and stuff blowing, you know. But don't you just love when a choir gets blessed of the Lord and they just burst out in song and God's Spirit floods the place and people get blessed? Yes, sir.
Another thing, too, in Europe is Sundays are closed.
Anyway, yes.
Sundays a day, you know,
they even turn off the street lights.
That's right.
And listen now. This is not Simon Peter giving the message today. That first Pentecost, God gave the message. Love the Lord your God. Don't serve all this other stuff out there. I'll be with you. I'll be your God. What a first Pentecost this was.
And he gave us the first business principle. Delegation.
Notice this was interesting to me. The third day. Does the third day ring a bell to you? They may put me in there, but Sunday's coming. The third day, they went up on that mountain. What an experience that must have been. I mean, for the clouds and the smoke and the fire and the lightning and the thundering and then the voice of God. I mean, you know, he said in there early on, he said, bring them up here so they may hear my voice. I'm just here to tell you, that really rung a bell with me. My wife is always saying, oh, if I could just hear him speak one time. I'm smart. I don't tell her to open her ears. Just listen. No. I just tell her, he's talking. That's as far as I'll go. And I'll have to admit to you, you have to be a little leery about people when they come to tell you that God told them something and what they were told goes contrary to the scripture. You have to be careful about that. I have to tell you, when I was a pastor, I had a lot of good advice from the Lord from other people. And I used to say to them, you know, I believe if the Lord wanted me to know this, he would tell me. But I've learned a long time ago, he does speak through other people. And you better listen. But there seems to be a little vibration that goes on so that your spirit and that spirit can go together. And sometimes when the spirit talks to you to do some things, you really question whether it's the spirit or not because of what he's asking you to do. But if you really feel the spirit is calling you to do something, do it. Moses went up to the mountain and God came down. What a Pentecost that had to be. Well, let's see. Somebody go to Leviticus 23, verses 4 through 7. Who had that?
These are the Lord's appointed times, holy assemblies, which you must proclaim at their appointed time. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is a Passover offering to the Lord. Then on the 15th day of the same month will be the festival of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day there will be a holy assembly for you, and you must not do any regular work.
That's interesting. Here we go. He's going to talk about another Passover. And he's going to talk about unleavened bread. The interesting thing to me is these people didn't just do it in 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week. Just once a year. When they did it in Israel for a whole week. Well, what they didn't know was they're getting ready to eat quail and bread for a long time. But the Lord said, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to forget these Passovers. Have you had a Passover? You understand what the Passover was? That's when you committed everything you had to the Lord. That's what they did. They left everything for the Lord. And we get all caught up in the fact that they had a meal. And they ate all this food and supposed to eat every bit of it. And if you couldn't eat it all, bring your neighbors in. Feed the neighbors. And have this Passover. Okay, let's go to chapter 23, verses 15 and 16.
From that Sunday morning, the day you bring the sheaf for the wave offering, count 7 weeks. On the Sunday following the seventh week, that is 50 days later, you will bring a new grain offering to the Lord.
Yeah. Now it says grain there, the Hebrew says meat. But the idea is that you're going to have another Passover. You're going to have another Pentecost. How many days? 50 days. How many days after the resurrection? 50 days. Going to have a Pentecost. Going to celebrate again. Okay, let's go to John. Let's go to the New Testament. Here about the New Testament here. Go to John 14:16.
And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, comforter, helper, that will be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth.
Uh-huh. Listen to the last words, folks. See, we get so caught up because everybody's got us with a comforter or a paraclete or what. What he is giving you is the Spirit of Truth. Now, I want to suggest to you again today, as I have in times past, the secular world has a different standard for evaluating truth than the Christian has. Now, you've been raised in a secular world. You were raised in a secular school. You are taught by secular teachers, many of you. Many of you were taught by Christian teachers who taught secular histories. And they taught you that the way you come to truth is you find out some kind of information out there and get a group of people together and y'all determine whether you think it is accurate or not. The way you're going to determine whether it's accurate or not is how many of the five senses does it reach? The more the five senses that it reaches, the more likely it is to be absolute truth. And when a group of you get together and decide, yes, that's truth. You have made it truth. And they put it in a book, and it's supposed to be truth. Understand that? I mean, that's just, and we still do that. I mean, we do it in our everyday lives. We were taught that way. But Jesus is telling us there is a Spirit of Truth. And you are going to receive that Spirit. You know as well as I do. There are times in your lives when the consensus is not right. The consensus goes against Scripture. And when it goes against Scripture, it's not going to be right. It may be accepted, but it doesn't make it right. And even in our church world, sometimes we get caught up in trying to solve our Christian problems in a secular manner, and we split a church and blow it all to pieces. I hate to say this, but I really think that's why we have denominations. Because we couldn't get a consensus. And some folks had a consensus over here, and another group had a consensus. Just try to put carpet in your church. The Spirit of Truth does not dominate you accidentally. The Spirit of Truth has to be sought and found and surrendered to for it to activate itself in your life. Well, let's go to chapter 15, verses 26 and 27.
When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning.
Huh. Are you beginning to understand? Jesus is God walking on earth. His Spirit is a Holy Spirit. It is not tainted by sin. It is not muddled up with secularism, nor with Hebrewism, nor with Judaism. He and the Father were one. And He is the Spirit of truth. You notice, how many times do you remember reading the scripture? I tell you the truth, He says. I'll tell you the truth. And we're startled at what He tells us is truth. Yes, sir.
You know, sometimes, you know, you hear it say, well, God walked the earth in the person of Jesus Christ so He could identify with us. I think it's the opposite, so we can identify with Him.
Yeah. He did not come to understand man.
That's right.
He came because He understood man. He knew what man needed when man didn't know what he needed. He wanted to show the way. Well, let's go to John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11.
But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away.
Mm-hmm.
For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin, mm-hmm, and righteousness and judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold Me.
Mm-hmm.
And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged.
Let me pause for a minute here to say to you. When I went through school, I went through these classes that I was amazed at how we define sin. We argued over so many things. Jesus gives you the best definition of sin you're ever going to find. Of sin because they do not believe in Me. It's that simple. You can add all these other things you want to it. But they are not the essence of sin. The essence of sin is you don't believe in God. That's what your friend said, see? He had to recognize, even though he don't believe in God, God did something for him. Isn't that interesting?
Amen.
I have a little atheist friend that I work with, been working with him for years, since he was here in school. And I keep saying to him, why do you want to talk about God when you don't believe in God? And I said to him one day, let me be a little facetious with you. When you die, you're going to get all dressed up and no place to go. I keep working with him time and time again, and he keeps asking me things, and so I know the Holy Spirit's dealing with him. Let me tell you something, folks. The Holy Spirit deals with you whether you like it or not.
Amen.
And He's dealing with people you don't know He's dealing with.
Amen.
And they're struggling with it, and they'll do some crazy things, and you're going to say, what's going on here? Well, the Holy Spirit's working with them.
Amen.
And see, that always marvels me about Jesus. When I don't understand this. How can He be walking along there with those Jewish guys along there watching them fish, and here's a guy over there in China praying, oh God, I need some help, and He's going to answer him. I don't understand that. But that's God. He can do those kinds of things. I got good news for you. Wherever you are, whatever your circumstance, whatever your need, He knows what you need before you ever ask.
Amen.
And He has the answer for you. You might not like it, but He's got it. Problem is, we want to tell Him the answer.
We're living in a world today where to say, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, that is so absolute. I'm telling you, people don't know what to do with that.
No.
It's too strong, and it doesn't sound politically correct.
Yeah.
And yet, lovingly, we tell them that, but it's like we can't hardly digest that.
Yes. Yes.
Toby, I'm reluctant to say much, but I think what I have to share should go on the tape because it might be an encouragement to other people. You know, during World War II, after the Japanese were incarcerated, there was a Japanese resident in Nisi, and their motto was go for broke. And as you're speaking, I'm reminded that we ought to go for broke quickly. It has to do with the unleavened bread. Don't take time to put leaven in the bread. You need to do it now. Now is the day of salvation. Go for broke because God went for broke for us.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
that
indeed.
Is something to think about the rest of our lives.
Absolutely.
Amen. How am I doing on time, Harold?
You got about 10 minutes.
I'm at 2?
10.
Oh, 10. Okay, let's go to Romans 8. Who's got Romans 8? Romans 8, 15 through 17. Listen to this.
For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him.
Praise the Lord. Are you comfortable with that?
Not the suffering part.
And you know, it's difficult. We have I'm going to call it Southern humility. You understand Southern humility? We can't afford to brag on the fact that God lives in me because people might be offended about it. And who are you anyway to say that? Well, who has a right to say it better than one who's been adopted by the Father? I mean, I've told you this before, that it always amazes me when people will say to me, oh, we can tell whose son you are. You're just like your daddy. Uh-huh. But my daddy adopted me. There you go. My daddy is not my blood daddy. Can the world see enough about you and me that they will say, we know who your father is? And we have a problem about bragging about being a son of God, when it's the most glorious thing that ever happened to you. When I was over in Korea, I didn't mind them asking me if I was a Christian. And I wasn't afraid to say, yes. Yes, I'm a Christian. And we need for the world to know that God adopts the sinner, saved by grace. That's very important for us to understand. That this Spirit of truth, whom the Father sends, lives in you. Why? So that John chapter 16 can be fulfilled. I am in them, and they are in me, and I am in you, and we're one. Well, I don't know what he would say about all of us denominations about being one.
Amen.
Isn't that a problem? That's a problem in this world. That's part of the reason why the army is not marching forward, because we got too many commanders and chiefs and it's in different directions. And we've missed the enemy. He's us. Well,
Toby, let me share this with you. This is a prayer from St. Augustine. Late have I loved you, beauty so ancient and so new. Late have I loved you. You were within me and I stood without. I taught you here, hurling my ugly self on the beauty of your creatures. You were with me, but I was not with you. You called me, your cry vanquished my deafness. You shone, and your light vanquished my blindness. You are a perfume I have breathed, and now I sigh for you. I tasted you, and now I hunger for you. You have touched me, and now I burn with desire for you. Mm-hmm. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Mm. Happy are those who take refuge in him.
Yeah.
I just thought we wanted that for the record.
That's from the Bishop of Hippo, the great St. Augustine. Yes. Okay, who's got Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8?
He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth."
And who is speaking this?
Jesus, yes.
Jesus is speaking this. You will receive power to witness for me. I worry about some people, the way they witness. I marvel at how some people witness and don't know they're witnessing. The world sees you when you don't know they're looking at you. When you're totally unaware. If you've been around your children very much at all, after you've grown older and older, and they come back and start saying to you about what impacted their lives when they were younger. Yeah. Power. I marvel at the power some people have. But they have it because Jesus gives it to them. If your power is your own power, you can't even start the car. You've got to have a higher charge to meet this world. You need to be connected with a great power source. And that's what Pentecost is all about. He said, "Tarry there. I'll be there." Well, I got one more we need to read. It's a long one. Acts 2, chapters 1 through 21. Hear him.
"When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own language."
Yeah, and now skip down to 11, because they don't need all those names of those countries. Skip down to 11 with the Cretes and Arabians. 11, Cretes and Arabians.
"Cretans and Arabians, but we hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty works of God. Mm-hmm. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocked and said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But that is what was spoken by the prophet Joel.'"
Let's stop right there. That's far enough, because we're getting ready to run out of time here. Notice that verse 4 said, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. All of them. And if we understand correctly, there were at least 120 men and women in that upper room. You know, we get so hung up on some of these little trivial things in there, especially about the tongues. And they made it very clear to us down there in verse 11. We do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. It was not an unknown tongue. It was the voice of God speaking to them through these apostles. I'm here to tell you right now, the Lord will help you talk to other people about what they need to do to become sons of God. And He will give you the power to be a witness, even today. I'm going to ask you that when you are taking the Lord's Supper Sunday, as you eat and drink, pray this prayer. Fill me. Empower me with your Holy Spirit to be the witness in this world that's needed today. Father, I ask you to fill us with your Spirit. Teach us how to live in your Spirit so that the world will see that there is a Christ who can change the lives of the sinner and fill them with His Spirit and send them out to be witnesses. Witnesses that God so loved the world that He not only gave His only begotten Son, but He gave us His Holy Spirit, not only to live with us, but to live in us, so that we could be one. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lord.